Good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we do bow down to you and we stand in awe of you. And we thank you, Lord, for your care and your love for us, that you lead us, that you protect us, that you restore us. And Lord, as we look at a very, very familiar psalm this morning, help us not just to write it off and say, oh, I know that. I learned that when I was at a very young age, and I can recite it flawlessly and so forth. I know every word in it, and Lord, that may be true, but yet I don't think that we ever can go through a passage without you teaching us something. So help us to glean from you this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to look at, I think, the most well-known psalm in the Bible, Psalm 23, this morning, and so I wanted to just begin by singing, He Leadeth Me. We have a couple of three leads. He leads us here. And so the words are on top of the page there. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. So let's sing along or listen, whichever the case is.
His faithful power. Heavenly comfort brought. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me.
We are going to, let's just walk through these six verses because it's a very short psalm, really. And if you want to follow along on your notes, you can. I have a few words clarified on the notes with respect to the Hebrew language, and it may be helpful to you, maybe not. Let us read, or just listen as I will read it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We believe that David wrote this well into his life span, that he was an old man when he wrote this. He had been through all kinds of trials and tribulations. He had been through the years of course, Goliath, and the years of being married to Michal, she was a sour one. And he was being chased around by Saul for all those years, and then all the way through with the sin of Bathsheba and the forgiveness of that, because the law said in that adulterous situation he should have been killed. So he was very grateful that the Lord had forgiven him. And we have that, of course, in Psalm 51 and Psalm 32 and so forth. And then he had the rebellion by Absalom, and he had all the difficulties in his families. He had a hard life, didn't he? Really a hard life. But he could look back and see the Lord's faithfulness all the way. And of course, this is also, you know, it's not just David writing. He's inspired by the Spirit. This is breathed by God. This is breathed by God for us. But as we look at this, I was just kind of thinking that, you know, I think I learned this psalm at a very early age where I could rattle off the words, but it didn't mean that much to me. I don't think he is our shepherd really until we are totally saved and committed to him. I mean, we can say, oh yeah, as a little kid, he's my shepherd, but it doesn't mean anything to us. It didn't mean anything to me. I mean, it was a word and I could visualize a shepherd taking care of sheep, but not he's my shepherd in the way he is my shepherd in this psalm, in the way he really is for those who know him and love him and trust in him and are committed to him. So we begin, of course, with the Lord, and this is Yahweh. We probably call it, say, Jehovah Ra'ah. This really is everything in here. It is pretty much everything of Jehovah. I mean, he is our provider. He's our restorer. He's our peace. He is our everything, right? And I believe you could substitute for that Jehovah the Son, Jehovah the Christ. This is really, we're talking about here, the Son, really, more than we're talking about, but he's God. So it's good to say that God is. And by the way, this is not any if to it. It is very absolutely positive. There's no question that God is our shepherd. It's not, well, maybe he might be, or, you know, he's part of the time, and you know, he used to be, but he's not anymore. He's got his mind on other things. No, he is. Whose shepherd? My shepherd. My shepherd. That is a tremendous word in here, if you think of what that is. He's my shepherd. And we can all say that, can't we? Really with total conviction that he's mine. He's my shepherd. He's not the shepherd. He is the shepherd, sure, but he's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. And then I shall not want, that really means lack no good thing. He is my shepherd, I shall not lack any good thing. Do you believe that? Boy, you wouldn't believe some of the believers that have some prayer requests from time to time. It looks like they lack everything. They don't have anything. But of course, that's not real, is it? I mean, it may seem like it is real at times, but I shall lack no good thing. And then verse 2, he makes me to lie down. That really a better term there would be causes. He causes me to lie down. It's not that I am just obedient and without following his orders. No, he causes me. You know, we could almost say that for everything about him. He causes it, doesn't he? Did you seek him or did he seek you? Did you save yourself or did he save you? Did he cause you to come to him, or did you say, oh no, I know exactly what I want and I want the Lord and so this? No, he causes me to lie down in green pastures. Green pastures in that part of the world were very problematic, really. If you go to Israel today in the springtime, it's kind of like the spring of California, there will be some grass. Green, great. But most of the year, brown. And you see these sheep on these hillsides and you say, what in the world are they eating? Rocks? Because there's nothing there in so much of the wilderness area in the southern part of Israel. But we see he makes us to lie down. Now lie down Again, this is all in terms of sheep. It's all in terms of the sheep. And who knew the sheep? David knew the sheep because he was a shepherd boy, right? And we see pictures of sheep and we see them. Oh, they're pretty cute little lambs. Oh, no, I'm glad God refers to me as a cute little lamb. Isn't that wonderful? Well, yes and no. But when we really see what sheep stand for, it's not such a great compliment. They're the dumbest animal of all animals. They're defenseless. They have no fangs. They have no claws. They can't take care of themselves. And if they just go over the knoll or around a corner from the flock, they're lost. They can't find their way back. They can't reason it out. Well, I've only been gone for a few minutes. They must be around here somewhere. Let's keep looking till I find it. They're just lost. So what does that talk about you and I? Without him, we're lost, right? And we're kind of dumb too, aren't we? I don't mean that in a critical way. I just mean, how many of you really know your heart? Nobody. How many really know what's ahead for you? So we are a lot like sheep, aren't we? That's what he says anyway. He causes us to lie down, take time. Now, when you get old like I am, I love to lie down. Boy, naps become the best part of my day. Lying down, in other words, taking time to eat in the green pastures, in the best pastures. And then he leads me beside the still waters. This word leads is different from the next leads. This leads means he goes before. He goes before me beside the still waters, or the waters actually literally is the waters of resting places. Waters of resting places. Now sheep fear rapids. If you would charge into a river, running river, like you do with cattle or horses or whatever they, you know, and you see in the movies, they charge in and they come on through and they all make it, you know. If you didn't have a sheep, you wouldn't have any of it make it. They would roll over and drown, you know. And because they can't swim well and they don't know what to do. They like still waters. So what would happen, and I learned it, is very amazing to me. Sheep can live for a month on just the dew on the grass. When there's grass and it gets the dew on it, that's all the water they really need. Pretty much. And then the other way they get it is by a stream. But typically what the shepherd would have to do would take some rocks and cause a little part of the stream to kind of be dammed up so the water was still, because they don't want to go near running water. They have to be, even to drink water, they have to be cared for. So very care-intensive animals, and we are very care-intensive, aren't we, as well. So he leads me beside the still waters, the waters of resting places, and he causes me to lie down. And again, I mentioned that, but there is typically friction in the flock, because there's pecking orders in the flock, and if the right higher you or whatever they are, if you're in their spot, they'll butt you out of the way and you have to yield and so forth. But what happens when the shepherd comes in? When the shepherd comes in the center of all of that pecking order goes away. Isn't that amazing? So when we come to the Lord, we're all the same, aren't we? I mean, you have a king, you have a slave or whatever they are. They're all the same, right? Again, kind of like sheep in a way. They're because of the shepherd. And then verse 3, he restores my soul, or the deep part of my being is what that really means. He leads. Now, this word means to encourage and to prod along. He's kind of prodding you here. He prods us along in the paths, and those are the old, proven, well-worn paths. And when you're in Israel today, particularly down in the southern part, you can see these great, long, wilderness kinds of hillsides on mountains, and they have all these little paths. Worn down, and you can see them where the shepherd can go and where the sheep can go. So he's leading us in those old, proven, well-worn paths. Now, we always want something new, right? I mean, how many of you have the iPhone 27 or whatever's out now? I don't even know, but, oh, got to have the new one. But we see here, he's leading us in the well-worn, proven paths of what? Righteousness. Isn't that great? What path are you on? Well, I can almost guarantee you, without the Lord, you wouldn't be on the path of righteousness. You might have some righteousness in it, but it wouldn't be the path of righteousness, because naturally, in the flesh, we won't go that way. But he leads us in the well-worn paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. And that means because of who he is and that he loves us so much. And then now we go from kind of provision to guidance in this little section here. And then in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. There are a number of translation things here that I just want to point out a little bit. Though, yea, though, it really means even when. Even when. Yes, even when I walk through the valley. It doesn't say shadow of death in the Hebrew. It says place of deepest darkness. When I walk through the place of deepest darkness, thou art with me. And you might say, well, death is the place of deepest darkness, and that's fine. But it actually, I don't think in the Hebrew the word death is in there. It's just the deepest darkness. So even when we walk, and this is just every word in here is so great. We're walking, we're not running, right? You ever see anybody run through? Well, maybe if you get killed instantly, you might run through, but otherwise, you're not running through the valley of deepest darkness. And the valley is nice because the valley means there's something on the other side of it. You're not running into the cliff of deepest darkness or into the abyss of deepest darkness. You're running to the valley. And then we see the word shadow in here, which is always good. Does a shadow ever hurt you? Have you ever been bitten by the shadow of an animal or by a shadow of anything? No. But the shadow is meaning there's some light someplace, and we're walking toward that light, aren't we, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death or the place of deepest darkness. And it really means a passage to higher ground. Isn't that great? And isn't that not true? When we take our last breath, we're on a passage to higher ground for the believer. Beautiful thing. We'll fear no evil. Now, fear is good. If it, you know, you don't want to have not fear danger. You don't want to not fear bad things. But here, evil. David says, I don't fear evil because I'm trusting in my shepherd. He will see me through. Says, what? For you are with me? Your rod and your staff, and that staff, of course, the rod was a straight stick, often had a knob on the end of it, and sometimes a point on the end of it where you could prod the sheep. Sometimes the knob on the end, you'd take the stick and want to get a sheep's attention away, you'd throw it at it, you know, whatever you use. And then the staff or the crook, that's the one with the hook on it, and that's really means to care for the sheep because the sheep would fall or they would need to be rescued. And how about his rescuing you and his rescuing me? Doesn't he do that? And then your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's for the comfort. And how comforting this verse, among others, in Psalm 23 has been for those on a dying bed. Every one word has a wealth of meaning in it. And then now in the last couple of verses here, we're going to move into communion with our shepherd. Communion with our shepherd. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, in that culture, there was a culture of the host and the guest, and you could go in if you were, depends on the circumstances, but you could go into the enemy's tent, and they would be duty-bound to treat you like the best guest in the world. So, in the presence of my enemies, and this is the picture here of the shepherd preparing nourishment, physical and spiritual, for you, even in the presence of your enemies. And you anoint my head with oil. Now, one of the things they did with the sheep, when they would take them from the lower ground to the higher ground, they would inspect them one by one, and anoint them with oil to make sure as they're going into the growing season and into the good grass and stuff, which was at a higher, cooler elevation, that they didn't have wounds and stuff that would cause them to be sick and not be well. So anointing us with oil, and of course that speaks of the Holy Spirit as well, and then the cup. They would always give you a cup full of wine, typically wine, water mixed with wine, and they would always keep it full. And when you go to many places in the world today, to Asia, they'll always keep your cup of tea full, right? I mean, you can drink tea until you can't drink anymore, and they're still filling the cup up, you know? Just out of love and out of graciousness, and he fills our cup, and it runs over. And it's always a cup of blessing. So he has an overflowing cup of blessing for us all the time. And then last verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word surely, I think another translation, maybe even better, is only. Only goodness and mercy shall follow. And follow means to pursue or to hunt. So only goodness and mercy will pursue me or will hunt after me. Isn't that great? Goodness and mercy hunting after you all the days of my life, and I will dwell. Of course, you know what that means. It means to settle down, to come back to, or really to come home to. So this means I will come home when it's over and be in the house of the Lord, come back to in the house of the Lord forever. So we have total confidence in the future of goodness and mercy. And our shepherd is leading us home all the way, isn't he? Well, Father, we thank you for this psalm. We thank you for your kindness and your care for us and your providing for us. And Lord, you have given us the opportunity to communicate with you, and you want that communication. You want us to pray. You have invited us boldly to pray. And Lord, intercessory prayer is always good, to pray for not only ourselves, but in interceding to pray for others. And so here we are this morning with a few minutes to pray as we get to do each week. So lead us and guide us now as we pray in Jesus' name.
Why don't you hear my
Father, we do thank you that you are our Savior. You are our Good Shepherd. Lead and guide each today, Lord, that we would make a difference because of you in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, and that your light would shine forth through us wherever you have us. We pray for the lost, Lord. And I just wanted to pray for these world leaders once again. We've got them on the list, but I don't often pray for them. And over 75%, I think, of the world's population is under these few leaders right here. And Xi Jinping of China, Narendra Modi of India, Donald Trump, USA, Joko Widodo, Indonesia, Jair Bolsonaro, Brazil, Arif Alvi, Pakistan, Muhammadu Buhari, Nigeria, Hasina Wazid, Bangladesh, Vladimir Putin, Russia, Lopez Obrador, Mexico, Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel, Angela Merkel, Germany, Theresa May, UK, Kim Jong-un, North Korea, Moon Jae-in, South Korea, and Lord, there are many, 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 many more. There's another 190 plus more than these. But we just lift these up to you, and we pray for all of them that they would come to know you, all of them that they would have the fear of you in their eyes, and they would know they're accountable to you, Lord, and they will answer to you. They will bow their knee to the name of Jesus Christ, as everyone will. So we pray for them today in Jesus' name. Now may we praise you as we go through this day, ever keeping our eyes on you in Jesus' name. Amen.